13. Are you a growing Christian? You know, they sung my sermon tonight, More Like Jesus and Less Like Me. It's amazing how the songs of just fit into the sermon. And I don't ever know what they're going to sing. And they don't know what I'm going to preach. Sometimes I don't need it until I get up, you know. But are you a growing Christian? That's a kind of a personal question, is it not? You can answer that sincerely and honestly. Are you? Not have you growed, but are you growing right now? A lot of people is not growing. Sometimes I don't grow. No matter how long you've been saved, sometimes you just don't grow. You know, and if you're not growing, you're backsliding. You're like an airplane, either it's going up or it's coming down. It's climbing or it's going down. Learn to be a growing Christian in these verses. Three little verses, and they learn to be a growing Christian. And that growing Christian to be a mature Christian. Mature Christians. So read these verses of Scripture, 9, 12, 13, and 14, and 2nd chapter of 1 John. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for the privilege that we have to honor you here this night, to worship you, O God, and just to be able to praise and thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, we know that we'll never really truly realize it till we get to heaven. Look at this old life and see how many grateful things that you've done for us. But we just want to say thank you, Lord, this hour. Have so many on our prayer list and our prayer box, Lord, is less fortunate than we are here because they could not be with us tonight. But we just want to thank you, Lord, that ones that are here and Father, the ones that couldn't come for some reason or another, God, that you might be with them in a special way. And while we just pray for the enlightenment through the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God, that we might truly, O God, look up to you from which cometh our strength. And Lord, we know our strength coming from you. And Father, we all need to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we just thank you this night for just a few minutes, O God, of your Word, Lord, we may be able to learn and take it into our hearts, our soul, and our everyday life. And truly, Lord, we might be more like you and less like ourselves each day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Now, the mark of maturity, are you a growing Christian? The mark of maturity. In these three verses that I've read, there's three stages. It says children, and then it says young men or young people, young ladies and young men. And then it says fathers or fathers and mothers. Did you know that you're all in, we're all in one of these three stages? If you're a child of God, you're in one of these three stages, and it's up to you, you know, to gauge yourself. And I said, personally, it's a question. Are you a growing Christian? Are you a growing Christian? Our ultimate goal in our life is to be able to be growing into maturity, to become like our Father. More like Jesus Christ, our spiritual Father. Mothers and fathers here tonight. Now, what does it mean as we mature? What does it mean? It means to be more like Jesus Christ, to become like Jesus Christ. And like I said, that song, it really fit right in good. More like Jesus and less like me. And you know, we could all say that same thing tonight. More like Jesus and less like me. He said, I and my Father are one. Christ said, also, and when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The goal of our ministry, every one of us, Paul in Colossians tells us that, I may present every man perfect in Christ. Now, perfect, we know that don't mean sinless, because there's none of us perfect. We will not be perfect in these bodies, but it means sinless. You know, you might have a perfect rose, You might have a perfect rose, but it's not a sinless rose. It's a perfect rose. There's a difference between something perfect. It might be just as beautiful, and just you say, "Boy, that is perfect rose," but it's not a sinless rose. It's a perfect rose. It means it's been mature. So that's what it's talking about, meaning a natural tool in full bloom. See, when you become mature in the Lord, that means you're like that rose, just a picture, a full bloom rose, that you are mature in the Lord. The proof of my ministry, proof of your ministry, proof of our ministry is each and every one of us to help each other and my ministry to you to help us to be more like Jesus Christ. That's my ministry, to help everybody to be more like Jesus Christ. That's the gauge of my ministry. And for all you Sunday school teachers, all ever been Sunday school teachers, that's your goal, is to help other people to be more like Jesus Christ. Pleasant Hill, are you progressing along? Are you maturing? Are you more like Jesus Christ? You see, the gauge of our ministry is really, we got a beautiful place here, but you know it's not our buildings. You know it's not even the crowd that we may have. And it's not our budget. It's not our baptism. It's our maturity. Are we coming more like Jesus? That's the gauge of our ministry. And maturity also don't necessarily mean healthy. Don't necessarily mean healthy, you know. It could be mature, but you still might not be healthy. But even also, you might be healthy, not be mature. Like a little three-year-old child might be healthy, but a three-year-old child is not mature. So you may be a healthy Christian, but you might be a baby Christian. You may not have been full grown yet. You still need to grow. Now you're saved, you're gifted, you got all these talents and all these natural talents that God will give you. But even sometimes when we have all these talents and we have all these gifts that God give us, a lot of times we're still not mature. Because you remember the Corinth, if you just read them two books, you'll find out that Paul had a lot of trouble with the church at Corinth. And he says, "I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as to babes in Christ." They were just babes in Christ at the church at Corinth. So be really careful when you read that book, do what you're reading about baby Christians. And you think about that. A gifted church, but they wasn't growing. It was immature. They was using their gifts, and they said, you know, that you come behind and no gift. I mean, they had all the gifts at that time. I mean, they had all the gifts in that church. It named all of them that they had. But they was using those gifts as toys to play with rather than tools to build with. They was immature. They was not using them like they should. Remember, are you a growing Christian? To start with, as you think about that, a natural person or a mature person is like Jesus Christ. In these verses, you remember these stages? You're in one of them. And as we ask these questions, which one are you in? Are you in the baby stage or the young man and lady stage? Or are you in the adult mother and father stage? The wonders of a childhood. There are some wonders in childhood, aren't they? And in verse 12 again, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Baby Christians really live in the realms of feelings. Did y'all know that? And babies live in the realms of feelings, how they feel. You know, there's nothing no greater than a baby. But salvation, you means our sins are forgiven. And that's the way you start as a child. You're born again, a new child of God. That's birth. And children are so wonderful, aren't they? I mean, I tell you what, children are so wonderful. I love children. Don't y'all love children? I tell you, when you get to be a grandmother and grandfather, I'm going to tell you, they just get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Just love children. They just bless me. They're just so wonderful. But you see, you know, children, they still got a lot of faults. Did y'all know that? Did you know kids and babies, they have a lot of faults? You know they're selfish? Did y'all know they're selfish? They're selfish. Not only that, they're rude. They're rude. They'll burp all over your good Sunday school meeting clothes. And it won't bother them not one bit to burp all over you. And they need to be served. You got to serve them. And they got to wait on them. And then little rascals are inconsiderate. They wake you up in the middle of the night and they don't care how tired or sleepy you are. Did y'all know that? Sometimes they just plain mean. Children, they go by their feelings. You know, it draws us a picture or two of little children in Christ Jesus, baby Christians. You just look at the same way, the characteristics of a childhood, and look at children. You know, and some people might look at children, and sometimes, you know, man, I'd like to get a hold of him, I'll tell you that. And some people look at kids, and if we looked at kids and say, like a lot of people look at baby Christians, say, man, if that's a child, I don't want to be a human being. A lot of people say, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. And a lot of times they're looking at baby Christians. They're looking at baby Christians. They hadn't been able to grow yet. You know, people judge Jesus Christ and his church, that means born-again believers, by newborn babies a lot of times. When we born again, you know what? A lot of people looks at us. If that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be one. But you have to grow, do you not? Don't every one of us was a baby at one time, weren't we? Weren't we all babies at one time? I know I was born at an early age. We'd all been babies, but you have to grow. That's the same way it is as a Christian. You have to grow. That's what we're talking about here. You have to grow. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, I used to think a church to be a great church would be, all would be mature. I mean, have a great church and feed a church that everybody would be mature. Man, I tell you. But if that was so, did you know our church would be nothing but like a rest home? If everybody was mature, it'd be just kind of like a rest home. But see, a church ought not be like a rest home or be like a maternity ward. Right? Or birthing is being done. Wendy's not here tonight. I was going to ask Wendy tonight. She's not here, is she? Wendy? Is she back there? Wendy, can you hear us? Wendy, had you rather work where you work in there, that maternity ward there where those little babies are, or do you rather work there as one of these nursing homes where a 50-year-old man sucks his thumb and have to change those diapers? Which one would y'all rather work in? Yes, they had. That's the reason at our church ought to be a maternity ward. Now, there's a lot of churches where they're nothing but just what we'd want to call nursing homes, just old people. But you see, babies thrill you, don't they? They thrill you. You know, when people come to know the Lord, I mean, that'll thrill the whole church when people are saved. And you know what? We're to get behind that. Everybody loves that. Everything. Newborn babies in Christ. So think about the wonder of childhood. And then you think of the young man or young lady at his stage, the warfare of manhood or the warfare of womanhood. Verses 13 and 14, just some of that says, I write unto young men because you have overcome the wicked one. Verse 14 says, I write unto young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. Be strong. Now no longer you're a child. Now you become a young man and a young lady. You're growing. And now you see you are a warrior and you are a worker. You are a warrior and you are a worker because a progress is coming to your life. A spiritual person is the same way. Now the person is grown. Now they have the power through the word of God. Now they might be able to fight battles. You've grown in the Lord. You know, a baby Christian can't fight battles. And that's one reason, you know, when people come and they get saved, you know, and their feelings are easy hurt. I ain't going back to that church. They hurt my feelings. You remember what I told you? Babies works on their feelings. It's all about feelings. But when you grow, you know, you get your feelings hurt. But when you grow, you can start fighting these battles. There used to be in our country what they call time that young men had to go off and serve at least 2 years in the Army. They call it draft. You had a certain age, you come under that certain age, you had to be drafted. Now it's a volunteer Army. But even the volunteer Army, you know, they don't take people at 60 and 70 and 80 years old. And they don't take babies either. You know what? They took young men and women. Why do they take young men and women? Because they can fight battles. And they're stronger than they're ever going to be, right? And they can fight battles and they're strong. That's where it says, young men, you're strong. You're warriors and you're workers. They're strong. Thank you, Lord, for our prayer warriors. right? You're strong. Thank you, Lord, for our workers, our nursery workers. Can you hear me, Wendy? For all you ladies, it goes back here for our nursery work, for our ushers. I hope I don't leave out nobody. For our choir, our orchestra. Hope I don't leave anybody out. You know, children's church, sound booth. Jeremy, you in my hands, take care of me, yeah? I mean, that's what about war and working. Every one of us, you need a job in the Lord. You work and you war, you be strong. Verse 14 again, it says, I have written to young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. You can't work and be warriors without the word of God abides in you. You won't be strong, you cannot work, you cannot be warriors because you are transformed by the word of God. 2 Peter 2 and 2 says, as newborn babes desiring to ascend miracle of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Get into the word of God. If you don't get into the word of God, you're going to be weak. NFL, I don't know a thing in the world about ball. Ain't that a football, NFL, ain't that National League, I think. I think it is anyway. Did you know they would never line up against a middle school in Pierce County to fight to have a ball team, would they? They wouldn't ever go against the middle school of Pierce County, the NFL. I don't think they would. There would be no honor in that, would they? Because, you see, they know that those kids are weak. But let me tell you one thing. The devil will come against you as a child. He don't have no honor. He'll line up against you. Just because you're a baby Christ. The NFL may not, but I'll tell you what, the devil will. And the devil, he wants to keep you as children. Because just as well as the NFL will line up against Pierce County High or a grammar school or whatever it is, and it'd be just stomping the same way it is with the devil of young Christians. When he lines up against you, what's going to happen? And he don't mind lining up against children of the Lord, babes in Christ. And that's the reason he likes to keep you as a baby in Christ and never grow, because it's like the NFL team against the grammar school. He don't have no problem winning. And if he gets somebody out of church and don't come to church, that is going to be a baby Christian as long as they live. If they cannot do away with church and do away with the word of God and grow in the Lord, you're just going to have to find out you're going to be defeated with the NFL. Because it's going to happen. There's no other way around it. Keep you out from the word of God. Keep you from the church of God. Keep you from the people of God. And by neglect, you cannot overcome the devil. You'll be just as defenseless as a child would. The grammar school up against the national football team. Just as defenseless. You cannot be a worker, and that's the reason the devil like to keep. And that's the reason the devil like for you to get your feelings hurt. Say, I ain't going back to that church no more. They'll hurt your feelings down there. Well, go off and see if you can do it by yourself. A lot of people try this. And they defeated the rest of their life. They'll never know what freedom is. They'll never know what joy is. Because the devil has defeated them, just like NFL. The second thing, wisdom of a father, or fatherhood. Progress is going on now, isn't it? Childhood, young man stage. Now fatherhood, progress is going on. You know, that's what it takes place. Fatherhood. Mothers and fathers and grandparents. You're growing now. Verse 13, 14 says this twice. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him from the beginning. Now, fathers, he's talking about the adults, talking about mature, spiritual fathers, have intimate time with the Father on high, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the mark of a spiritual father is maturity. The mark of a spiritual father is really reproducing. You won't be a father unless you reproduce, isn't that right? You might be a man, but not a father. So, if you're mature here tonight, do you have any children, spiritual children? That means, have you led anybody to the Lord? Have you helped lead someone to the Lord? Have you prayed? Has got somebody on your mind? Do you have any spiritual children? Not only that, is it's a reproduction going on, because Christians reproduce themselves. That's what we're all about. We produce other Christians. But also, the marks of a father is they provide. They take care of their family. Now, we got a lot of families in this country now, and it's growing all the time, where the household, they don't have a father. I saw on television, I think old Bill O'Reilly says now, that in the black community, not throwing off on the blacks at all, but 52% of the children is born in black families out of wedlock with no father. And they wonder why they're having problems, because of the breakdown of the family. And I think for the whites, it's 42%. But still, it's the parents that don't have a father. Now listen, God intended for the family. You know, God set forth a family before there was a city. That's the oldest institution right out of the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden is family. God, a man didn't think about marriage. God did. God ordained marriage. And where they want to, any other way they want to do it, and it's always male and female. I don't tell you, they can turn any way they want to, but they're not going to change God about it, and they're not going to change God's ways about it. God said it, and it settled for God what they want to do about it. But anyway, God said, call a family. You need a family. Father provides, and you know, it's so good. You know, the greatest joy is fathers. The greatest joy as fathers is to be able to give your kids something and provide for them, isn't it? To give your kids something and provide for them. I'm going to tell you, that's great being a father. He'll thank you for they have spiritual mothers and fathers here. That you provide for one another. And we help one another. We provide for the church. Fathers, they reproduce. And fathers, they provide. But also, you know, fathers have wisdom. Thank you for our earthly fathers that we have been able to go to. People that had good homes and good earthly fathers for wisdom. You know, it's amazing as you look back, and a lot of us got older, and a lot of us don't have our fathers with us now. But you know, it's amazing as you look back in your childhood days, look back in your younger days when you were at home, it's amazing how much wisdom your father had in it. You didn't realize it until after it all over with, you know. But you know, it's amazing at the wisdom that your father had back in those days. You thought they didn't know nothing. Some of them didn't have no education. Some of them were third grade or second grade. Some of them didn't go to school. And yet they had so much wisdom. And you know, a lot of the problems we have in our churches, they want to set aside all of our senior adults. And they want to say, hey, it's all for the young people. I mean, we got to do everything to reach young. That's good. We need to. But don't throw away our old people, because I are one. You know? And you know, the wisdom of our church has come from our people that's been here a while. The wisdom. We need the senior adults. We need to, don't forget our senior adults. We don't do enough for our senior adults. We don't need to forget about our senior adults, because, you see, they have all this wisdom. So you add from childhood, you know, to manhood, to fatherhood, are you a growing Christian? You know, John, he had to grow. John wrote the book here. He had to produce, had progress in his life. You know, John at one time was called, as we all grew. My goodness, I got to get him. We all grew. And you know what, John? John was called the son of thunder. Man, he had a quick temper, and he was selfish for a while. I mean, he was Christ's disciple, but he was quick tempered, son of thunder, and he was selfish. He said, Jesus, when you get into your kingdom, I want to sit on your right hand, my brother on your other side. And no, you know what? He didn't have any tolerance for people who weren't like him. Samaritans, he didn't like them at all. You know what he said to Jesus one time? Hey, Lord, let's call down fire. Let's burn them all up and destroy them. Called him the son of thunder. You know what? John had to grow. John had to grow. God called him for his disciple, yet he had to grow. He called him. But you know what? When he started writing, the years began to grow. And then what John was called then? Jesus called him the beloved disciple. No longer selfish. He wrote the Gospel of John, and you know what? He was so humble in the Gospel of John. Did you know what? He didn't name himself the first time in the whole Gospel. His name is not mentioned the first time in the Gospel of John. No longer calling down fire, but he says, Lord, fill him with the Holy Spirit. no longer fire. See, they have to be a principle of growth. We all have to have this. You can't get around. You've got to have a principle of growth. Growth, you see, you've got to have it. There's just no way out of it. As you think about it, there's just no way out of it. The means, you see, the means of this maturity, you've got to have this principle of growth. And growth demands a miracle of life. Y'all know that? If you grow as a Christian, you've got to have life. And if you grow as a human being, you've got to have life. Without life, you're not going to grow. 2 Peter 2:2, as I done read, as newborn babes desiring sincere milk of the word, that you might grow thereby. The principle of growth, you have to have a balance to grow. Now, you Sunday school teachers, and you may be Sunday school teachers sometime in the future if you want to do something for your kids, a little one, they may not understand. You know, you have three plants. Get you a little cup, have you some plants, excuse me. Boy, that's good. I wish y'all had some. You take these three plants. You let the kids see these three plants. One of these plants, you give water, and you give sunlight, and you give fertilizer, and you watch how it grew. You take that other plant, and you just give it water and fertilizer and no sunlight. And if you have time for your experiment, you see, you give the next one sunlight and water, but no fertilizer. And then the third one, you see, you give, or the fourth one would be, you give them fertilizer and sunlight, but no fertilizer. And watch the difference, and let the kids see the difference in a week or 2 weeks, how the difference of that plant is. You know, they won't all grow alike, because you have to have a balance in your spiritual growth also. You got to have a balance. And then if you want to try another experiment with them that same way, have another cup and put a dead stick in it. And then you give it sunlight and you give it fertilizer and you give it water. And let them see that stick. And you water it, you fertilize it, sunlight, and it won't grow. You know why? Explain it to them, because they have to have life. You can't grow without life. And I'm going to tell you, no one can grow. A lot of people are trying to grow and then get burned. You know, it won't work. A lot of times the devil likes to confuse people that way. When you get your life cleaned up and you quit doing this and you quit doing that, you start living right, you start growing, then you come back and you can be burned. That makes a lot of sense to you now, don't it? But you thought it was the truth to start with. The devil will tell you that. You grow up and then you get born. That's what people's trying to do. Try to live a good life and then get born. You can't. You're born again, you got to have life, and then you grow. How old devil, he just fools us all the time. Growth demands the passing of time. You know, there's not no instant maturity. They might have instant mashed potatoes and instant coffee and all that stuff, but there's not no instant growth in life. They're just not. You know, you can grow a squash plant in about 45 days. You can grow a squash, but it takes over 40 years to grow an oak tree. It just takes time. It just takes time. I wish I had time to go more in this. D.L. Moody would be a good example. I had time to talk about his life, but I hadn't anyway, about growth. But anyway, D.L. Moody, he tried, and shortly he just tried to pray for faith. He tried to pray for faith. He was like a Billy Graham in his day, but it seemed like he couldn't get nowhere. Then he read in the Bible where faith comes by hearing the word of God. And then he read his Bible more and more and more and more. And it seemed like it opened up to him. And he just felt the growth in his life. He just felt the growth in his life. Because you know what D.L. Moody was doing? He wasn't just reading the cookbook. He was eating the meal. Now that's a lot of Bible studies that people have today. And a lot of places they have Bible studies around. You see, they just read the cookbook and nobody eats the meal. It's kind of like Joy sometimes goes shopping. She don't buy nothing. Praise the Lord. And a lot of times in the Bible, you know, that's what we do. We just winter shop through the Bible. Just winter shop. You know, a lot of people don't know what winter shopping is. I don't think you don't winter shop anymore. I remember when I was a small child, probably first or second grade. I can remember back far. Can y'all remember back when y'all was in first or second grade? I can remember back before I went to school. But anyway, we lived in Miami. And my dad and my mother would take us on a Friday, catch the bus, about 15 cents. We'd go downtown Miami. Now, they weren't too bad back in those days, now I'm telling you, but I wouldn't go down downtown Miami now with a tank, an Army tank. But anyhow, you could ride a bus down there. You didn't have to worry about it, and you'll get to see a movie. And then out of the movie, you didn't have enough money to buy nothing. But you could walk, and they had all these big, big mirrors, and I'm going to tell you, you could just walk by from just store to store, just looking out the window, doing this store. All of them was closed. You just went to shop, you know. Just wish you had this, wish you had that. Did you know a lot of times we have our Bible studies, and a lot of Bible studies happen to, you know what, we just went to shop. We just read the cookbook. We don't eat the meal. It won't never grow. Jeremiah said, I did find the word and I did eat. It requires growth. It requires life, time, food. It demands discipline, exercise. Hebrew, though exercise have their senses discerning good between good and evil. Exercise. I don't like to exercise, physically exercise. You know what? You should exercise. We know we should. And that word exercise, we get that word from the Greek word there. And exercise there in Hebrew means gymnastic, means gym. Be a strong physical. You know what? You got to get in the gym. You see these Olympic players, what they do? They work out all the time. All the time. They work out. They work out. They work out. That's the reason they're great like they are, because they exercise. You know what? It's the same way spiritual as we grew. If you don't exercise, you will not be a worker, and you won't be a warrior, and you won't have the wisdom. When you come to church on Sunday, we come on Wednesday, you know, we call this the service, but this is not the service. We're not serving the Lord now. You know when the service starts? When you walk out those doors. Not on Sunday morning when you come in. It's whenever you go out, that service. You eat the meal. You do more than just read the cookbook, but you eat the meal. The question now, are you a growing Christian? Are you a growing Christian? More like Jesus and less like me. Are you a growing Christian? Tonight, I did get through, or I just cut it short, didn't I? I still got about 3 minutes. But Jeremy's going to put us on something, and we're going to bow our head, and we're going to thank the Lord any way you want to. And we bow our head for just a few moments here and just thank him and thank him and thank him today for all the good things. Oh, what a good time I had in the Word of God today. I thank you, Lord, that I didn't just read the cookbook. I had a good meal. I hope that you did too.